Crossroad International Church podcast. We're so glad you joined us. It is our prayer that God will use this message to bring comfort to those who are hurting, give hope to those who find themselves in what seems to be a hopeless situation, and to encourage the one who is struggling through a difficult season of life. For more sermon audio, resources, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit cickuwait.com. We'd love to hear from you.
With me, if you would, in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. We're continuing our series in Galatians, Faith Under Fire. And today we're going to be doing Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26. And this is a passage of Scripture that talks about the great war between the flesh and the spirit. It's an internal war. It's a war that each one of us has to battle. And it's inside. So we're going to go through these scriptures today and see how do we fight this great war. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And as I said, inside of us, there is this battle going on between our spirit man and the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. It's a struggle, basically, as we've been studying, between law and grace. It's a struggle between bondage and freedom. It's a struggle between the old man and the new man. And Paul here says this is a struggle between the spirit and the flesh. Jesus talked about this struggle in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. And he said it's a gate, different gates, two different gates that lead to two different paths. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about which way will you go. There was the path of the law and the path of grace. And this is basically the same idea, except we have to decide, do we follow the spirit or do we follow the flesh? Paul calls it a war in 1 Peter 2:11. He said, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Paul says that our flesh actually wars against our soul or against our spirit. And we all have this internal struggle, this internal, where do I go? And it says here, if we are led by the Spirit, we are not under the law. So once we come to know Jesus and we are saved, and we have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within us, renewing us, we are no longer under the law. So we want to look at this struggle today. And he starts out, Paul, talking about this struggle with the works of the flesh. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also have told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Notice that it's called the works of the flesh. It's active. It's work. It's something that we choose to do. And it says that they are evident. The works of the flesh are evident. They're easy to see. Look around you. Look around the world. The works of the flesh are everywhere. Now, to prevent getting way off into some bad theology, Paul is not saying that if you fall in one of these areas, you're doomed forever. Because he says in the end of 21, if you do these things, you're not going to heaven. But the word there in verse 19 or verse 21, it says, those who practice these things, practice, that word means a lifestyle. So if your lifestyle is doing these things, you're in trouble. If you are known by these works of the flesh, you're in trouble. But from time to time, we slip and we fall. And from time to time, as children of God, we sin. But the Bible says, when you sin, repent, and God will forgive us. We will be forgiven. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I'm not saying go out and sin so that you can repent and God can forgive you. Okay? That's not what this is talking about. You remember back couple of weeks ago, or even last week, we talked about don't use the freedom and the liberty that God has given you as an occasion for the flesh to sin. That's what Paul is talking about here. It says that the way of the flesh leads away from the kingdom of God. See, it's the flesh that leads us away from reading the word. It's the flesh that leads us away from prayer. It's the flesh that leads us away from church and fellowship and helping others. And the flesh always leads us toward things that are selfish and are good for number one. Those are the things the flesh does. My pastor one time said, he was doing a deliverance service, and this person that said, Pastor, I need deliverance because I can't pray, I can't read my Bible, I don't want to go to church, all of these things, so I need deliverance. And after several hours of praying for deliverance, he said he heard the Holy Spirit say, you can stay here forever, but you can't cast out the flesh. See, sometimes the devil gets accused of things that he doesn't have anything to do with. We just do it. You know, I wake up in the morning and the devil doesn't jump up on my shoulder and bind my arms and put chains on my legs and keep me from opening the Bible. No, I choose not to open it and read. That's my flesh at that moment got the victory over my spirit. Let me read some really depressing scriptures to you. Is that okay? Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, for those who faced the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, both small and great, standing before him. And the books were open, and another book was open, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Psalm 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And lastly, Romans 14:12. So then each of us shall give an account to himself before God. Now, I said these are depressing scriptures, because when I think about my life for the last 62 years and some of the stuff I've done, now maybe I'm the only one that's done stuff I'm not proud of. I'm sure all of you have never done anything wrong. You're happy of everything that you've ever done and said. And, you know, even scarier than that, it says we'll give an account of every word that comes out of our mouth. But we're going to stand before God and give an account of everything that we've done in this life. But hallelujah, the good news is, if our name is found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we will go to eternity in heaven with him. So that's the way of the flesh. It's depressing. It's not very glamorous. It's all this sin and debauchery, and we think it's fun. You know, that's the devil makes us think things are fun and they're not. I used to think it was fun when I was in the military to go to the NCO club all night, and because it was cheap alcohol when I was in, 10-cent beers and 25-cent shots of whiskey, and we'd just stay in the bar all night. And it was fun. Go outside and throw up and wake up the next day with your head about to explode. Oh, it was fun. I mean, that's what the devil calls fun, you know? It's a lie. The whole path of following Satan is a lie. Oh, you know, you could have, she would really love you more than your wife if you just hung out with her. He would take care of you and do more for you than your husband if you just went with him. It's a lie. Is it okay to get real? Those things are lies of the enemy. Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. So if he tells you it's going to be fun, believe me, it's not. So that's the way of the flesh. We don't want to go that way. But many of us do, because we live in the flesh. Reach over to your neighbor and see if they're real. If you can touch them, they're real. If your hand just goes through, they're not flesh. But if you can touch them, they are flesh, and we all live in the flesh, and we all have to deal with the flesh. Then in verses 22 to 25, he goes with the way of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Notice that it talks about the flesh. It's the works, plural, of the flesh. But here, notice it is the fruit of the Spirit, singular. It's one fruit. You don't get a piece of it here and a piece of it there, and then later when you're a little more mature, you get another piece. No, it is the singular fruit of the Spirit. I would equate it to like an orange. If you peel an orange, there are many sections inside of the orange, but it's one fruit with many pieces. This is the fruit of the Spirit, and nine pieces are mentioned. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, these come as a gift or part of the Holy Spirit when He comes to live in us the moment we are born again. The works of the flesh, it's things we have to do. We have to choose to do them. It's work, it's active. Fruit is passive. Fruit is the evidence of life in a plant. If a plant is healthy and it's full of life, that plant produces fruit. It's a passive reaction to the presence of life. I've never been out and looked at a tree that's working and its limbs are, you know, digging the ground or pruning itself. No. The tree is just alive, and it receives nourishment from the ground, and because it's healthy, because it's alive, it bears fruit. Our life is the same. If we are alive in Jesus, if the Holy Spirit is active and working in our life, then the result is this fruit will appear. We will have love and joy and peace and all of these things in our life. John 15:15 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that He may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. See, we can work to sin. We can do some things to follow the flesh. But we can't work to produce love. There's nothing we can do in our own actions to produce joy or peace. It's simply by abiding in Jesus. When we receive the life-giving flow of Christ and we have that life within us, the result is fruit. Let me just go through these fruit real quick. Love. That is the self-sacrificing agape love, to where it allows us to love God and man. Joy is a constant delight in God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Peace. When the Spirit rules in our life, we will experience peace in basically three areas of life. We will have peace with God, peace with others, and probably the hardest one is peace with myself. A lot of times when I talk to people that are having trouble, it's because they don't have peace within. Long suffering. Willing to accept and bear injury. Long suffering or patience. Number five is kindness. It is a sweetness of attitude. Easy to get along with, easy to please. Number six, goodness. The willingness to do good and help others. Number seven, faithfulness. Ability to trust in God and to be trusted by God. And as I was praying about that, that's the one that hit me the most. I have no trouble trusting God. But can I truly say that God can trust me all the time? Can I confess to you today that your pastor is not perfect? Is that a shock? No. Probably not to any of you because you know me. One of the things I hope that you get from both Dell and I as we preach, we're not trying to hide anything. We just tell you the way it is. We're human. We make mistakes. We have problems. If you don't believe us, talk to our wives or our kids. Okay, my kids will be out here in January. You can ask a couple of them, hey, was your dad perfect growing up? And they'll just laugh. They did call me Superman, but that's different. Faithfulness, the ability to trust God and to be trusted by God. Let me ask you, can God trust you to do what he's called you to do? Number eight, gentleness, restraint, power under control. I grew up on a horse ranch, and my first couple of years in Bible college, my wife and I went home and worked on my dad's ranch, and I rodeoed during the summer. And I had about five or six horses that I would take to the shows and the rodeos, and I call them gentle because they had power, but it was under control. I remember my pole-bending horse. He would just stand there, three legs, do nothing, until you put the saddle on him and got him in the arena. And as soon as you got him in the arena, his whole body tensed up and he would start quivering because he was so excited to run. But as long as I had control of the reins, he was very gentle. He would do whatever I told him to. But as soon as I would let the pressure off the reins, hold on, because he was gone. See, that's what it means to be gentle. We have the power of the creator of the universe living inside of us, but we are under the control of his spirit. And then lastly, self-control. Refusing to do those things that you could do if you wanted to. Not taking thirds and fourths at the buffet. Notice I didn't mention anything about seconds. Not eating half the pie at one go. And you've heard me confess before about the way I like to eat ice cream. I'm now eating ice cream in dessert bowls, not in serving bowls. because I've learned I need some self-control, okay? Not doing those things that we could. And the way of the Spirit says that we are free from the law in verse 23. And in Christ, the flesh has been crucified. Remember back in Galatians 2:20, we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in us. He's coming back to this now. If we are in Christ, the flesh has been crucified. Dead people don't sin. It's a proven fact. Are we dead or are we alive? Is our flesh dead or alive? We have been crucified with Christ. If we live in the Spirit, we should walk in the Spirit. I want to run you back through these scriptures for a moment. Paul uses four distinct verbs for our life in the Spirit. In verse 16, he says to walk in the Spirit. That means to follow after. Then in verse 18, he says, be led by the Spirit. And that gives the picture of leading an animal by a rope. We are to be led. We are to let the Holy Spirit lead us. In verse 25, it says we are to live in the Spirit. Everything we do should be motivated by the Spirit. And then also in verse 25, it says again, walk in the Spirit. But it uses another word, which is a military word for marching. When I was in boot camp in the military, in the Army, we spent a lot of time practicing how to march so that all of us were in step with one another. And that's what this is actually saying in verse 25, is it says, be in step with the Holy Spirit. What the Spirit's doing, you are following. You are in step with what God is calling you to do. And then Paul gives a warning in verse 26. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. Back in verse 13, Paul warned that we not use our newfound liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. And here Paul is saying we must be careful that we do not use the fruit of the Spirit in our lives to become conceited. Oh, look how much better I am than you are. Come on now. Sometimes we act that way. Or he says, do not use it for provoking one another. We have this idea sometimes, well, you know, if you were a real Christian, you'd have more fruit in your life. You know, if you really serve Jesus, you'd be more loving. Well, if you really serve Jesus, where's your joy? Why does it look like you're always sucking on a lemon? Are you really a Christian? Or, he says, don't use it to envy one another. Oh, I wish I had fruit like them. Why doesn't God bless me like he blesses that person? And this is just human nature. Sometimes we take the gifts that God has given us, the fruit in our lives, and we try to use it either to make ourselves look better than others, or to beat others into being like we are, or putting ourselves down because we're not as good as someone else. Just be who God's called you to be. Amen? You can't be like me. Hallelujah. I'll never be like you. I would make a terrible Dell Motter, and Dell would make a terrible Steve Mills. Why? Because we're different. God called us to different things. So Paul is saying, be careful here. So in conclusion, judge your life by the results it is bringing to pass. The results of your everyday life. When you get home every day from work, think back over what you did that day. Was it more following the way of the flesh? Or was it more following the way of the Holy Spirit? Matthew 7:20 says, therefore, by their fruits you will know them. I've said many times, I can't look in your heart to see if you're a Christian, but I can inspect your fruit. That's what the scripture says. By their fruit, you'll know them. You'll know if they're believers or not by the way they act and the fruit that is produced in their life. The Holy Spirit will defeat the flesh if we will allow Him. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We have the Spirit of God living within us, and He can help us overcome this flesh if we choose to submit to Him. 1 Corinthians 10:12-13. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will always make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The Holy Spirit can overcome the flesh, can help us to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, be in line with the Spirit if we submit to Him. And then lastly, we need to avoid places, people, things, images, music, movies, TV, magazines, books, anything that brings temptation to us to follow the way of the flesh. Because if we mess around with it, we will eventually give in to it. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 26 to 28. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? And can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? If we start playing with all of these things of the world and the things of the flesh, be careful, you're going to get burned. But the Holy Spirit, the power of God within us, will help us to overcome the flesh so that we win the battle. The battle between the flesh and the Spirit is not a battle that I can win in my own strength. But it is a battle where I can always overcome if I rely on the strength of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me. Paul says in Romans, he says, because of this struggle, the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing, and the things I want to do, I find myself not doing. God is so cool. He always helps us to live these messages out before we preach them. I started a book last night that was really great. It was one of those books that gripped me. I started reading at about 9 o'clock, and at midnight I realized, you know, you need to go to sleep. But, you know, it was one of those, you know, just every page you got to turn it. So I woke up this morning, And my routine is I get up, I get a cup of coffee, and I get my Bible, and I do my Bible reading. But this morning, I got up, and I didn't get a cup of coffee. I didn't grab my Bible. I found myself in my chair with that stupid book, trying to find out, are these guys going to get out of trouble or not? And see, I should have learned last time, every time they get in trouble, you turn the page, they get, you know, they get out of trouble, then they get back into trouble. And so the whole book's that way. And God, right in the middle, in his, you know, gentle way, I stopped and I thought for a minute and I saw him going, so who won the war this morning, son? And I had to say, Father, forgive me. The flesh got the upper hand this morning. He said, okay, now go preach it. And that was just something very simple. But that dumb little book, I mean, I could have gone home today and finished it in an hour, but that little book had me, my mind so gripped with what's happening that it took precedent over my daily habit, my daily routine of getting the Word of God and getting before Him. And that's just something simple. But we find ourselves day in and day out sometimes that the flesh gets the upper hand. But God wants us to know today that He loves us, and if we repent, He will forgive us, and His Spirit still resides within us, and His Spirit will see us through and overcome. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this time. We thank You for Your Word. Father, I thank You that Your Word doesn't hide these things like a struggle inside between our old man and our new nature. And Father, I thank You that You love us enough that You convict us. You never condemn us, but You convict us when we do those things that lead or follow after the flesh. But Father, help us, every one of us, to daily turn our lives over to You and to choose to be led by Your Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, and to be aligned with Your Spirit. And Father, as we do, we will see a proliferation of Your fruit in our lives. We'll have more love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and gentleness and long-suffering and all of these things that we long for as Your children. Father, as we spend more time in Your presence and give ourselves over to Your Spirit, that this fruit will automatically be manifested in our lives. We give You the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.